You're listening to the ministry of Potter's House Church, Wandsworth, a Christian Pentecostal church based in South London, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our call is to reach the lost, make disciples, and plant churches. For more information on who we are and what we do, visit us online at www.phcwandsworth.com.
Turn to someone and say, it's all about Jesus. Amen. Praise God. God is good. Get in your Bibles, Revelation 2, verse 18. We are the Potter's House. We meet here every Wednesday. We also meet here every Sunday. Sunday is at 3 p.m. Come out. You will have a wonderful time on a Sunday. We're in a series called Air Force. How many been feeling more infused with force? Hallelujah. How many been using some spiritual weapons this week? Amen. Some M134s dealing with the enemy. Hallelujah. Praise God. No water pistols this week. And if you don't know what that is, then you missed it, but you can still go online and listen to it. Praise God. And so on a Wednesday, we do go into a slightly deeper mode. And so this is a deeper message. We call it a deeper walk with God on a Wednesday. And so this sermon, I will just tell you from the get-go, this is a deeper sermon. This is deep. This is going to be a bit more deeper than we usually go. But I mean, sometimes we need to go deep. Yeah. We need to deal with some business. So listen, stay in the sermon. Stay in the service today. Amen. Don't go out to just chill outside and talk to your friends and hide in the toilet because it's going to get a bit hot. Amen. So we don't want no one hiding. Turn to someone and say, don't hide. Hallelujah. And there's no hiding in the kingdom of God, pretending like you forgot something. Oh, and maybe I left the iron on. I've got to rush out. It's an important call. Listen, God is the important call that you should be taking. Amen. Let's dive straight into the word. Revelations 2 verse 18. And so we've been talking about you are more than a Christian. You are overcomer. How many got some obstacles in their life? Some situations, some struggles, some difficulties. Well, listen, there's good news. You are an overcomer. An overcomer is like someone who runs in a race and they do the hurdles. Do they call them a hurdler? What do they call them? Is that what they call them? A hurdler? Okay. I didn't know that. It sounded a bit funny. But you think about it now. They're at the marks, get set, go line, and they hit a gun, bang, and they start running. They come out, and they don't like get to a hurdle and go, oh my days, what is this? No. They expect it. They're a hurdler. The quality of them is to jump over this thing. And you are overcomer. As a Christian, that means when an obstacle comes your way, you're not like, oh my days, what's happening? No. You expected it. You expected an obstacle. You expected a difficulty. You expected something. But you say, listen, that's fine, because I'm an overcomer. I'm a leap over this. Amen? What do we look at? So far, we've said that Ephesus, if I can remember correctly, Ephesus, they overcame lovelessness. Remember, they were doing everything, but Jesus said, you've left your first love. And then we had Smyrna, thank you very much, woman of God there. And so we had Smyrna, and so we were talking about overcoming persecution. And we need to overcome persecution. And then last week we had Pergamos. And so we're talking about overcoming compromise. And so we can be overcomers in all things. Let's go straight into this text. The Bible says in Revelation 2 verse 18, and to the angel of the church in Thyatira write these things, saying, the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire and his feet is like fine brass. I know your works, your love, your service, your faith, your patience. And as for your works, the last are more than the first. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you because you allow that woman, say that woman, that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality and to eat things sacrificed to idols. Let's pray. Father, we just ask you right now to take dominion in this place. We come against every spirit of Jezebel right now in the name of Jesus. We take authority over you. You must leave. We will serve notice on you in Jesus' name. We pray that Jesus, you would be exalted in this place. Establish your dominion and your power. Father, I pray that your mercy would be in this place. Deal with us as your children with mercy and love. I pray you would save those that do not know you. Lord, in the midst of all that we deal with tonight, Father, if you could just speak to us. And those that don't know you, let them know you in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
amen.
And the real Christian said,
amen.
We want to deal with Thyatira. Let's go straight to the map. Can we get the map up there? Hallelujah. I've been assured that this is going to be a good map. It's coming. 3, 2, 1. We rehearsed that, amen. No, we didn't, but you see, that's why we've got anointed people on the thing over there. Hallelujah. So here we have Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, and this is Thyatira. And so same within the same area here, and obviously each week we'll go through that. Jesus reveals himself in this text. Remember we said that Jesus always has an introduction of how he reveals himself. And here, this one, what he says is, whose eyes are like a flame of fire, whose feet is like fine brass. Whose eyes are like a flame of fire. Think about that. That's intense. And he says, whose feet are like fine brass. And so what this means is that Jesus stands firm. That his feet is like brass, that he's immovable, that basically he's taken dominion. And this is going to become quite apparent because you'll see there's a spirit in the church. But can I tell you, doesn't matter what spirit is in the church, doesn't matter who's in the church, doesn't matter what they're doing in the church, Jesus has the ultimate authority. Jesus has the ultimate authority. This is why it doesn't matter what happens, who comes in the church, what people say about the church, how they try and fight against the church. They will not move the church because Jesus stands like feet with fine brass. He's not going to move. And the Christian, you need to have confidence in this, because no matter what you're going through, when everything in your life feels like it's shaking, know this, Jesus stands firm.
Amen.
The one you look to is not shaking. And that's what you've got to focus in on. But he also says this, and this is intense. He says his eyes are like a flame of fire. This means everything he looks at, fire means judgment. Everything he looks, he's going to judge. And when we say judgment, the word judgment, I mean, is to reveal what it is. So if his eyes go onto gold or stuff that's basically not combustible, it will just burn. Yeah, that's gold. But if you're just wood painted like gold, his eyes will go on you. And if you're one who wears a mask or you're trying to cover things, his eyes will burn through that. Really, what this talks about is the real you. His eyes see right through. I don't see the real you. You could be looking at me right now thinking, I hate that guy. I would not know. If you smiled at me, I'd probably think, they like me. But God right now, when he looks at you, he knows exactly what you think. He knows exactly what you think. He knows exactly what I think as well when I look at you. And it's love. Amen. He says this, he said, I know your works. Again, this is very common. We've gone through these letters. I'm moving through this fast because I want to get to the meat of the message. But he says, in this this part here, he says, I know your works, your love, your service, your faith, your patience. And he commends that, because how many know this is what a Christian should be? Someone who actually has love for people. Listen, when you become a Christian, you should have a bit more love for people. Also, service. How many know when you become a Christian, you should want to serve? You should desire to be involved in some sort of ministry. I find it very difficult nowadays where we're seeing people get saved, but they don't want to be in ministry. They don't want to serve. He says, I know your love, I know your service, but also he says, your faith. You need faith. It's not enough just to you love people and you're in ministry, but you got to have faith sometimes. And the Bible says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. When you do not see nothing, when you do not feel nothing, you've got to hold on, have faith and patience. And so he says, I know your works, and he's commended them. And just like all the other churches, he's commending them and saying, you know what, this is good. But Well, before even that, he says this: as for your works, the last are more than the first. The last are more than the first. What he means is you're actually increasing. You're actually getting better. So this is a church that was actually taking some ground, moving forward, growing. Your last works, you've actually improved. You're getting better. And so we'd all be proud of that. Wow, I'm growing in love. My ministry's growing. I'm in faith. I'm in patience. But he says this: nevertheless, I have a few things against you. And he points to one person in the church. This is why this is a very deep message. Some of you, I pray that you know, I can communicate this well. Because think about this now. They're doing all this out, and he said there's one person in that church. And he mentions their name. He says Jezebel. Now, if you know anything at all, you see Jezebel in the Old Testament. And so we do not propose that this woman that was in the Old Testament got in a time machine, went forward in time, and was in the church at Thyatira in Turkey. No. What is he saying? Just like we looked at Pergamos, there was someone in there that was named Balaam. Remember we did that? And what we see that Jesus is doing, Jesus is pointing back to the Old Testament, and he's picking out characters to identify people in the New Testament. And he's saying, what it is you have the same spirit that person has. So let me give you a little heads up here. There are, we've kind of gone through this over the last few Sundays, but there are spirits guiding and pushing people to do things, motivating you, suggesting things to you. We live in a physical world, but there is a spiritual reality to that world. And the Bible says the things which are seen are temporal, the things which are not seen are eternal. This is not even a real world. The spirit realm is more real than this world, because that realm is eternal. This realm is temporal. And so you could be, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. But there is a spirit just motivating you and pushing you and leading you and guiding you to do the wrong thing I'm talking about. And in the church, there was someone who had the spirit of Jezebel. Now, there are six things I want to bring out about Jezebel, and then I'll bring it to the modern times, and then we'll work that out. Because for us to know, what is this spirit? Who is this person? Well, first of all, she attaches herself to leadership. She comes from the Baal worshippers. She marries Ahab. Ahab is the king of the children of Israel. And so she marries this king, and so she's attached herself to this leadership. But if you know anything about Ahab, Ahab is weak. Ahab is a weak leader. So she attaches herself to leadership to gain power and authority. But that leadership that she attaches herself to is weak. Second thing, she's unwilling to change to the culture that she has entered into. She comes from her culture, which worship Baal. She enters into the children of Israel's culture, but she brings Baal worship with her. The third thing, she schemes in secret places to assassinate the godly. And we know the story where Ahab wants to buy the field. He can't buy the field. And so Jezebel schemes so that she makes all these lies up so she can assassinate the guy who owns the field, and then goes back to Ahab and says, listen, you can have the field. And remember, Ahab was crying and all of this stuff because he couldn't get the field. Fourth, her nature is revealed when she is challenged by the authority of God's word. Her real nature was revealed. She looked all nice on the outside, but when God's word was brought to her, when the man of God, when Elijah attacked the prophets of Baal, she rose up and she actually threatened him. She threatened him. She says, listen, if you ain't dead by this time tomorrow. And she threatens him. And it shows the ferocity of this woman, that actually this man of God that called down fire ran off for a period of time. Fifth, she's a seductress. And she uses beauty and things to influence. We see that somehow she puts makeup on, puts her head out the window, and she's painted her face. She surrounds herself with weakness. with eunuchs. These are men that have had their privates. And so she's a eunuch is a man who can't create anything. He's a man that has lost his testosterone. He's just weak. Or really, he's just a puppet of whatever stooge he's around. The problem is that those are the six things. The problem Jesus has with this woman is actually not with the woman when you read the letter. What he says is this. He says, you have allowed this woman, Jezebel. He says the problem with the church, here is this church that has all these qualities, but he says the problem is this. You have allowed this woman, Jezebel, to teach and seduce. The problem is, Jesus says, this is my church and there's someone in the church and you're allowing them to do this. The word allow, you know what it means? To tolerate. You're tolerating this person. You've become too tolerant. I mean, in our day and age, this is what really, we kind of strive to be tolerant. To be called intolerant is almost like a swear word, you know. It's almost like an indictment on your character. We pursue, we must be tolerant. Everybody's welcome, just come as you are. We want to be tolerant. Jesus says, listen, you're too tolerant. You're allowing some things you should not allow in the church. The word tolerant, let me give you some understanding. To permit, to authorize, to sanction, to condone, indulge, agree to, approve of, endure, put up with, support, submit to, stomach, undergo, accept, ignore, wink at. The world we live in today is full of nonsense many times. You'll have women magazines. And so ladies, listen, we're going to deal with this spirit. And so listen, I love you ladies. I love you, man. But we got to deal with the word of God. But listen, there are some brothers that have this spirit as well. So don't switch me off, guys, man. But the world that we live in today, you see the magazines and you see the talk shows and these shows where these women sit around and drink coffee and talk to one another about issues, about being a woman and all of that. And you know what? In some of it, there may be some common sense. I'm not saying that everything that's said is nonsense. No, common sense. Listen, they might tell you to brush your teeth twice a day. Praise God. You need to brush your teeth. That's common sense. I'm not against that. They might tell you, you know, to eat your vegetables and drink plenty of water. I'm not against that. But many of these media outlets, what they are doing is they are influencing women in a way which is just not biblical. You know, they're telling, hey, sister, you don't need to be worrying about getting married yet. You need to go get your career first. You don't need to come under, get married and come under no guy and have no guy. Listen, you need to have your career first, because what if that man leaves you? Well, that's fear. That's fear. That's like me saying, hey, bro, don't get married, because what if she leaves you? No. God looked at man and said, bro, it ain't good that you're alone. Get married. There's some new recruits in the engagement. Hallelujah, man. You always tell when someone gets engaged, like, praise God, man. I mean, it's good to celebrate with those that are celebrating. Amen. Let me just throw this out there that ain't in my notes. He that is faithful with another man, God will give to you your own. Yes. Celebrate with those. Hey, I'm happy for you. Listen, I was single for 9 years. I saw many people get married. Many people get married before me, and they came in after me. But I was always happy for them. Yes. I always celebrate, and I'm happy for them, man. Why me? Anyway, you know, it's good to have freebies in sermons. Amen. Jezebel, listen, the world that we live in today is a Jezebel training camp. It's a Jezebel training camp. You seen those satellites and they're over like some Al-Qaeda training camp. They're in the desert doing drills. The media today, ladies, you got to be careful because they're a Jezebel training camp. And you come into the house of God. Hey, ladies, I don't know why that. I never said tell them, but that wasn't me. Don't blame me. I love you guys. Let me quickly move on. This one's going to be short. Amen. We're going to get through it together. Hallelujah. This spirit of Jezebel, how does this spirit work out in the church? Because how do we identify this now? Because how many know nobody's marrying a king here and nobody's going to war here and all of that? But let me speak about how this manifests itself in the church many times, the spirit of Jezebel. A woman has a Jezebel spirit. She seeks leadership and she seeks to attach herself to leadership. She always wants a leadership role. And that in itself is not bad. But what we're saying is that she really thrives to cash in on leadership, which is weak. And so she will want to come to a church and she wants maybe to, she would like to sit under a pastor, which is weak. She wants a weak pastor. Someone that she can manipulate, you know, Ahab. She looks for weak men. She wants a weak husband. Listen, sister, you be careful. Don't be, you know, hey, my husband's weak. What does that say about you? Because why would you want a weak husband? Because this Jezebel spirit seeks to attach itself to leadership, because Ahab was the king, but the reality is he was a weak king. She's unwilling to change to the church culture, Christ culture. The Jezebel is unwilling to change. Remember, Jezebel comes into the children of Israel and she still brings Baal worship with her. She's not willing to get rid of the Baal worship. Now think about this now. We can speak about women that did change. Ruth. Yeah. Ruth did change. Ruth was a Moabite. Yeah. Ruth, what does Ruth say? Your gods will be my gods. Ruth says, I'm willing to change. I know Ruth's like, listen, when I was in the club, I was singing all the single ladies. Ruth was like, yeah, that's what I was doing. But now I've come into church. Your God is my God. The way Ruth comes in and says, listen, the way that a woman of God dresses, I will dress. The way that a woman of God carries herself, I will carry myself. She comes into, and so what a Jezebel does, she comes into the Christ culture of the church, but she refuses to adopt or adapt or be transformed by the Christ culture of the church. What she wants to do is bring in her own worldly spirit into the church. And so when we speak about things like, let me tell you, the Bible exalts the woman with the meek and quiet spirit. That's what the Bible says. The Bible warns against a contentious woman. A woman who's contentious. She's argumentative. She's contentious. She's, The Bible says, you know what? It's better to go in the house, stop. Then deal with her. Then it says, listen. Then it's got another one. It says, actually, go in the wilderness. It says, like, the house stop wasn't even high enough. Go in the wilderness. This is a spirit that attaches itself to women. And they want to bring that into the church. You talk about, they see submission as domination. They see submission as weakness. And they promote that and they project that. Submission is not weakness. Submission is not weakness. You'll see these women, they'll come into fellowships and talk about things they don't even know. Never been married. Don't know nothing about being married. I wouldn't let my husband say it. Been married a hot minute. Now you want to talk about marriage. Listen, sis, you better go home and just try to fix your marriage. And keep your mouth shut before you start counseling people. That's the real deal. I tell people all the time, if you want to judge me, look at that woman there, how happy she is. If she's happy, she's getting taken care of, she looks good, then I'm doing a good job. If she's coming in, she looks busted, she looks depressed, then I'm failing. I'm failing. But can we not also say the same for a woman? Before you start, yeah, go home, deal with some business. But no. See, I'm talking about Christ culture here. And to some of you, this is, Pastor, you're pushing back. Listen, the Jezebel spirit, maybe right now, is whispering in your mind, I don't like this. You got to tell that Jezebel spirit, you're going to like it. Because you've been telling me what to do for too long up in here. The Jezebel spirit, remember, she secretly speaks out about the church while she openly shows that she supports the church. She slanders the church. She goes behind closed doors, just like when she was trying to get the field for her husband. She creates this conspiracy to assassinate those that have character. This is many times this is a woman who indulges in gossip. She indulges in gossip. Hey, can I speak to you a bit? Hey, have you seen so and so? Hey, have you seen how long she's had that weave in? What's that got to do with you? Listen, listen. I don't care. That could be miracle weave before you know. Just like in the wilderness, they had miracle bread, man. They had miracle clothes in the wilderness. You know, they didn't wear out. Maybe they had miracle weave. It won't wear out until she gets a new job, man. Have you seen what clothes she's wearing? I think she's putting on weight. What's that got to do with you? Why do people in the house of God have to talk about such nonsense? Pull your little cronies in. Start assassinating people who've been serving God faithfully, picking out their faults. The Bible says be very careful about picking out people's faults, church. Be very careful about picking out people's faults, because God might just come down and start picking at some of your faults. The Bible says, with the same measure you measure to others, it'll be measured back to you. This is why I try to be as gracious as I can. Give out as much grace as the Bible will allow me, because I want more grace back. This is what I want. I need more grace. So I'm going to give out as much grace as the Bible allows me. Talking about leaders in the church, I don't think Pastor quite understands what's going on here. Why has he got them praying? Why are they leaders? It's gone quiet in there, man. Hey! Outbursts, culture clash, when people stand up for righteousness. You will see a Jezebel. Jezebel, you know, and I'm going to kind of speak about it, but they position themselves like that butter wouldn't melt in their mouth. You know that terminology? It's maybe old school for some of you, but basically it's like they wouldn't harm a fly. They wouldn't harm anybody. That's how they behave. But then when you challenge them with the word of God, you will see them manifest. You will see the real them. When you give them the word of God, when you tell them, because the Bible says that when Elijah deals with business, this woman rises up and starts saying, listen, I'm going to kill you. I'm coming after you. She makes threats, and those threats are so ferocious that the man of God is intimidated. See, many times the people that have this spirit of Jezebel on them, man or woman, they will intimidate you. What do I mean by that? Not that you're just scared, you're running scared of them. But what it is they start to use things like, you think you're so righteous. You think you got it all together. No, I'm just saying what you're doing is not Bible. I don't need to be in heaven for 1,000 years, made perfect, to come and tell you that is wrong. I don't need to be on another, I don't need to be, possessed by all of the saints and do everything, just some sort of supernatural, go around the planet to tell you raving is carnal. I don't have to, there are just some basic things. Lying is wrong, fornicating is wrong, smoking is wrong, drinking is wrong. It's just wrong. But it's that you speak to this person and they start to just lash out, come out against you. Use things that you think you're better than me. Oh, there's no love in this church. These are the manipulations of Jezebel. And you get to the point where you actually become intimidated that you don't want to challenge her anymore. Because you know, every time you speak to Jezebel, there's a confrontation. And so it's like, listen, can I be honest tonight? Should I be honest? Yeah, I got to be honest. I am honest anyway. It is sometimes I still with people, I'm like, rebuke them. And it's like I have to, I'm like, I've never felt like this before. Never felt, what is this? It's the spirit of Jezebel, man. I have to come against it. Listen, I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. If I've got to deal with you, I've got to deal with you. Whether you're a man or woman, if you're in wrong, I've got to tell you you're wrong. But when that Jezebel spirit has you, see, because Jezebel don't want a man of God. Jezebel wants a man she can push around. A weak man, weedy little man, runs off to his mummy. Life is hard. Yeah. Listen, when I got married, I didn't marry because I wanted another mum. I wanted a wife. I wanted a wife. Too many men are looking for a mum. Stay at home with your own mum. I wanted a wife. I have one mum. Praise God. I love her. She's a good woman. But I wanted a wife. Okay. She's a seductress. Listen. And I'm going to balance this off, so don't stare me down. She's a seductress, meaning that she uses beauty, fashion and makeup to influence others. Listen, there ain't nothing wrong with taking care of yourself. There ain't nothing wrong, man or woman, nothing wrong with taking care of yourself. There's nothing wrong with putting some makeup on. There's nothing wrong with doing your hair nice. Nothing wrong with, we're not that church where we're like, women can't do this, can't do that, can't shave their legs, can't shave the armpit. Listen, shave your armpit. The pastor told you, amen. You don't want putting up your hands. It's like, well, there's a mouse. Hallelujah. This ain't that church. Hallelujah. You can remove any. I ain't saying no more than that. So, we're not talking about, we can't wear deodorant. We can't. Listen, ladies, don't buy into that nonsense. Yeah, I'm going to go natural, and your husband is battling. He's the one that's going to suffer. You're just there, natural, look natural, smell natural. I was like, a little bit too natural, man. a little bit too natural. So I'm not influencing that. So I had to put that in there because I needed to set some things straight. But what we're talking about, what we're saying here is that when you see a woman, and she's sensual. The way that she dresses is always sensual. You know, and you see the clothes that she's wearing, it's just a, come on, man. You don't need to be wearing that in church. I mean, really, you shouldn't wear that at all. That ain't your size. You're about two sizes too small, man. I don't even know how you got into that. And I ain't even going to think how you're going to get out of it. But that never should be worn to church. When you put that on, you cannot tell me you put that on and look in the mirror and didn't think people are going to look at you. Come on, let's be honest. And when you start to, this Jezebel, she come into service and it's like, hey, she got to stand out. She got to be, a finger has to be on the pulse of fashion. This is what, listen, you're thinking this anyway. Fingers on the pulse, and I was going to say, the Spirit is speaking to me now, don't say it. So I'm not going to say it, I'm going to love you guys. Listen, you should dress nice. There's nothing wrong with dressing nice to look good. But there's a problem when you're dressing nice to stand out. When you want to stand out. And basically church becomes like competition time. It's that I'm going to outdo you. My heels are going to be higher next week. I saw her heels. These heels are higher. Her lashes were that long. It's like a competition now. Listen, just look good for yourself, for God, your husband, if you're married. But you don't need to be standing out here. Look good, but we don't need to dress to stand out. But she uses this. This is her thing. You need to spend more time dealing with the inner woman. Because that's where the true beauty is. It's the inner woman. Deal with the inner woman. Some of us are maybe naturally born, not as beautiful as others. That's just the reality of it. You know, no one's, you know, people are not stopping in the street looking at me like, hey, we want you to be on GQ magazine. No. Unless it was GQ Midget magazine, you know. The reality is we're just what we are. We're ordinary people. Praise God. Someone went, ah, oh. Amen. Ah. Oh. Poor bastard. Listen, I don't want no sympathy, man. I mean, no man don't want no ass. But listen. This sermon is deteriorating before my very eyes. But what we're saying is that look good for yourself, for God. You know, you don't need to be competing with the world and what the world tells you. Not every fashion is for the church. Listen, some fashions out there, you can bring them into the church. Some fashions, hey, that's the fashion now. Hey, you can wear that. But some fashions, nah, that one has to, I'll wait for the next one. Maybe the next one I can get on. But this fashion, I can't get on this one. Because this Jesus ain't on this one. The last thing that I want to say about the Jezebel is that she surrounds herself with weak people. Or should I say she surrounds herself with people that she can control. See, Jezebel surrounded herself with eunuchs. And so many times, the Jezebel spirit is a woman that will surround herself with people. I wouldn't say weaker, because that plays into so many different things. But people that maybe are going through difficult times. People that are struggling. People that are younger. What do you mean by this? Is that she wants to control things. So what she does is she gravitates to those that, oh, are you going through something? Let me come around you. And it's not to comfort, it's not to bring, we understand that's what we all do, we want to help people, but it's to control you. Because when you're weak, when you're going through things, When you feel that no one understands what you're going through. How many know when you go through something, it's like no one don't understand? How many know that's how you feel? You feel like you're alone. Some of you, I remember going through things in Rotherhithe and the church, and I said, like, Pastor, don't even understand what I'm going through. So I know some of you think that about me. Listen, yeah, you smile at me. No, we love. I know, you can't kid a kidder. And so then the Jezebel comes up beside you and, oh, there. What are you going through? Why hasn't Pastor called you? Why hasn't he come here and cried with you? Let I cry with you. Let me take you out. And the whole time, it's to try and lure you in to control you. There's no encouragement like, hey, Jesus says. You don't hear them talk about what Jesus says and what the Spirit can do and what God is going to do. You don't ever hear, no, that's not what they talk about. They're talking about carnality. And what they're doing is they're dealing with you on a soulish level, not a spiritual level. They're dealing with you just on an emotional level, but not a spiritual level. Well, we understand that we do not wrestle with flesh and blood. And we also understand that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. So you can be dealing with people on an emotional level and a soulish level. But what they need is freedom from that spirit of condemnation, that spirit of rejection, that spirit of depression, that spirit of self-pity, that spirit of insecurity. And only then will they be free and liberated. But the Jezebel wants to lure you in. Many times wants to buy you things. Jezebel will come into the church and you'll see that she doesn't actually have relationships with a peer group. Or she has no relationships with the older women. And the Bible says, you need to have relationships with older women that can teach you how to be a woman of God. Well, she don't have that. But all of her relationships are with younger women because she wants to influence them. They become her eunuchs. There's a woman, you know, trying to push herself into the youth ministry because I want to influence these young people. Because, you know, they can't rebuke you. They can't talk to you. They're not going to tell you about areas of your life which are wrong. You will not submit to older women. They don't really understand what they're talking about. They've been saved quite a while, faithfully. Look at her husband. She's taking care of her home. She's dealing with business, man. This is a faithful woman of God. How dare you speak like that? Her peer relationships. These means as, you know, people that should be, these should be her closest relationships. What you'll find is this, is that she'll make relationship with them, and then they keep breaking down. And she keeps going around the church, making different relationships with different sets of people. Because a relationship is a two-way thing. It's a two-way thing. So eventually we've got to start to, if you can start to speak to me, but I need to be able to speak to you. You can give to me, but I got to give to you. And if you keep breaking, if all of your peer relationships keep collapsing and breaking down, there's something wrong with you. And I know sometimes we think, oh, it's everybody else. I've learned in life, I'm not that old, but I'm not that young. I've learned in life, when it keeps happening to me, it's probably me. Some people go for their whole life, it's everybody else. It was everybody else when you were 16, it's everyone else when you were 26, it's everyone else when you're 56. And you're still going on like that, you will never learn. Sometimes you got to look in the mirror and say, you know what, I think it might be me. Time is flying, let me just wrap this thing up very quickly. Jesus says, I gave her time to repent of her sexual immorality, and she did not repent. Many times this is someone, man or woman, that brings sexual immorality into the church. This is an unclean person spiritually. And the Bible says, listen, I gave her time to repent and she refused. How many know God is gracious? God gives time to repent. He's given you time to repent. Repent means turn from this. And then Jesus actually says, because she refused to repent, I cast her into a sick bed. I cast her into a sick bed. Because of this spirit, it opened the door to sickness. That's what it says, church. And the Bible says, those that follow her go through great tribulation. We need to keep ourselves from this spirit, church. And when we identify it, we need to be those that say, listen, we don't allow this to have access. We're not going to allow these type of people to have influence or to teach or to be people that are leading people in this church. We have to speak against it. If we want to keep the favor of God, and Jesus says these words, he says, overcome. Keep my words. And he says, I'm going to give you the power over the nations. See, this spirit of Jezebel can seem so pervasive, so around us. And I can only imagine as a woman that every day, every moment of the day, you're out in the world and this thing is trying to seek its way into your life, trying to seep into you. And you come into the house of God and you've got to constantly stand against it. But he says these words. He says, listen, I'm going to make you like iron. And he speaks about the shattering of clay. Listen, this culture of this world will not last. It will shatter. And iron will last. And he uses a language at the end. And he speaks. Let me read it. It says, and I will give him the morning star. And he who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The morning star. I had to look into that. I was like, what is the morning star, man? And he speaks about it in Peter and later on in Revelation. And so the morning star, in a secular sense, in a natural sense, is one of the planets that you can see that comes before the day. And what Jesus is saying is he is the morning star. And what it means is that even in the midst of this dark spirit that you're wrestling with, God says, listen, I've made you an overcomer. And if you're willing to stand with Jesus and say, listen, I'm gonna keep his word, Christ is gonna reveal himself to you in a fresh, new, dynamic way. See, there's a close similarity between this letter and the letter we read before. Really, last week, Pergamos is more the compromising church. What this letter is, Thyatira, is the corrupted church. But both of them, remember he said, I will give you the hidden manna, a stone, a white stone with your name on it. That each time God is revealing and reserving intimacy and his closeness with him. And let me speak to every woman in this place. This is what you desire the most, even if you don't know it. Is to have relationship with your maker, God. Because when Jesus reveals himself to you, you become so secure in who you are. You don't have to devalue yourself. You don't feel so empty and rejected. And on the like, it's almost like the world wants to put women on like the cattle market. Like you're just standing there waiting for a guy to pick you. And oh, he picked her. Oh, I'm rubbish. Listen, that's not why God designed you and made you. Didn't design and make you for that. What God designed and made is that you would know Christ. And you would know that you have beauty and worth and value. I don't have to be a man to be a valuable woman. I don't have to compete with men to be valuable. I am a valuable woman of God. And this is what God wants to reveal to you, wants to give to you. And as our church grows, we must say, listen, we don't want this spirit in our church. And listen, some men here, you got to deal with it as well, the Jezebel spirit. We live in a culture where many men have grown up with their mums. No dads, mums. And your mum had the Jezebel spirit? Yep, I'll say it. And she's giving it to you. And you need to say, listen, I don't want this. Because some of those characteristics I read can reveal some men that I've met. And you say, listen, I don't want this. I'm not going to operate this. I'm going to overcome this. I want every head bowed, every eye closed.
We hope you've been blessed, edified, and challenged by this sermon to reach the lost, make disciples. For more information on who we are and what we do, visit us online at www.phcwandsworth.com.